Welcome to the Joyful Attorney Podcast, where licensed attorney and certified life coach, Laura Kelly, teaches you how to bring joy, harmony, and balance to your practice and your life.
Hello, colleagues, whenever or wherever you are. Welcome to the Joyful Attorney Podcast. I'm your host, professional certified coach, and practicing attorney, Laura Kelly. There are two things that I particularly enjoy in life, and in this podcast, I have combined them into one. First, I love a challenge. Hard stuff equals growth, remember? And I, like millions of others, have spent the last few years watching Succession, the tale of some of the most odious characters you could possibly imagine, but also some of the most compelling. This weekend is the season finale of Succession, so I'm paying tribute to the brilliance of the show by deciding which of Logan Roy's four competing children can be considered the most joyful. And I'm really, really stretching the term joyful here. So at this point, I have to give you a big spoiler alert. Of course, if you have never watched the show, but you're intending to, or you're not up to speed on the final season, I'll give you a few seconds here to stop the podcast and come back at a later time, which I know you will if you watch Succession. But before you go, if you haven't had the time to catch the series because you're too busy, then my time management section of my unique subscription service, Joyful On Demand, is perfect for you. Go to www.thejoyfulattorney.com/joyfulondemand to find out more. Okay, let's get into the Joyful Succession special. My plan is to go through the three criteria of being a joyful attorney, or joyful media mogul in this case, and score the four siblings accordingly. The categories are time management, boundaries, and emotional regulation. Let's start off with time management. It's a tough one to judge, as every part of Kendall, Shiv, Connor, and Roman's professional careers and personal lives, really, are mapped out for them. Cars are waiting for them to get into private jets and vice versa. Now, Kendall seems to have the biggest workload to deal with, toe-curling shareholder presentations, running the company day-to-day as co-CEO, preventing a buyout, keeping investors on board, deciding if he's evil or not, as well as stalking his children and ex-wife with private security. He seems to do fairly well with all that. Now, Connor ran for president, but didn't seem to do it the traditional way of working 20 hours a day, crisscrossing the country. Good use of preventing burnout, but bad for winning elections. Now, Shiv uses her calendar extremely well in terms of plotting and scheming against her family members. She seems to drift through days with her stress levels staying low, despite dealing with an unplanned pregnancy with her estranged or just strained husband. Now, Roman Roy is not really task-oriented in the traditional sense. It's doubtful that he has a to-do list or a diary, despite the fact that he is also co-CEO. Everyone else does the work while he sweeps in at the end with some big, terrible idea that somehow everyone else ends up following, like installing a fascist regime in the United States of America. Now, to be fair to Roman, these are excellent delegation skills, which is a key element to managing time. So Roman wins this round. Next up, we have boundaries. Roman is a curious one, once again. People are constantly cold calling him or approaching him at parties, trying to cut deals, forcing him to say yes, simply to make them go away, like installing fascist regimes in the United States of America. However, his open borders approach is useful in terms of building relationships and cutting shady deals, which is what he likes to do. He also handles Greg the best simply by telling him to F off. Now, Connor doesn't need boundaries because no one seems to need anything from him at any time. Now, poor Kendall. He both says, I can't deal with this right now to all comers, but usually follows up with, tell me what's happening, thus increasing his stress levels. Roman having open access 24/7 tends to leave Kendall helpless with no time to think through any of his schemes over firing people and installing fascist regimes. As co-CEO, he needs several layers of human screens in front of him. Kendall should definitely come to my special webinar this Friday on May 26th about building better professional boundaries. He would learn how to become the actual CEO of his business and personal life by establishing the best way to deal with his company and siblings. He might even remember that he has children that are more than just tools to manipulate his ex-wife. Go to www.thejoyfulattorney.com/upcomingcourses for all the details. Shiv has very flexible boundaries, which open and close depending on which particular career path she has chosen that day. Her siblings, as well as both Mattson and Tom, are allowed in and out depending on their usefulness. And again, this allows her more time to plot, scheme, and change her mind. When it comes to boundaries, Shiv wins. Emotional regulation. Roman is bottom of the heap here. From sending inappropriate photos to coworkers, firing incredibly important executives on the spot, and those being both the same person, just because he's in the mood for it, or installing fascist regimes in the United States of America to annoy Shiv, or starting a fight with very angry protesters, Roman's world is led by emotional triggers and petulant whims. Not a great combination. Shiv probably needs less regulation. Her bottling up feelings leads to her betraying pretty much everyone she knows, threatening Greg with dismemberment, and destroying Tom from within, which, to be perfectly honest, he probably deserves. She is clueless about what she actually wants to do with her life. She's an iceberg in an endless circle of the Atlantic looking for cruise ships to sink. And it goes without saying that Kendall has issues. However, he appears to have done at least some introspection after drug addiction and a possible suicidal near drowning. He's come out the other side, right? What side that is anyone's guess. Kendall rarely loses his temper unless he feels betrayed or he's trying to prevent his children from getting to the safety of upstate New York. Saying, okay, this is okay, is his general coping strategy, but at any moment, he could end up right back on the pool floaty, out of his mind. Connor accepts all manner of slights and insults and was only mildly bitter about losing the presidential election. He's also most aware of his place in this family and has accepted it. He's a plant in a desert that needs little sustenance to survive. He didn't even mind his own father not coming to his wedding, or his siblings forgetting to tell him that his father was dead, or his wife, Willa, telling him that she's largely with him for his money. He rolls with it. Out of the four, Connor is probably the most joyful. He's fairly chill, has a managed calendar, lacks self-awareness, but seems to accept reality. And why not when you have $100 million to blow on a failed presidential campaign? And surprisingly, he has the healthiest romantic relationship with his wife, who used to be his escort. Willa, let's be honest, is the real winner here. I would put Shiv, Kendall, and Roman as equally miserable in their own ways, as they're desperate for the one thing money can't buy and they will never have, their father's validation. Let that be the real lesson of secession, my friends. So I hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Joyful Attorney podcast. Until next time, stay scheming, stay backstabbing, stay emotionally stunted, but most importantly for all, stay joyful.
Learn more about how you can work with Laura Kelly by going to thejoyfulattorney.com. Thank you for listening.